It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad you joined us today. We're in Genesis chapter 35. We're going to begin with the first verse, Genesis chapter 35. And so please that you open your Bibles and be prepared for the study today. And as you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois. And so I'm glad that you've joined us now. Hope that that was enough time for you to find your place in Genesis chapter 35. And I hope that you can sit down and study with us today and read along with us. Genesis chapter 35, beginning to read with verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar, and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him, when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allon-Bay-Cuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again, when he came out of Padan-Aram, and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and the kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it. To thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Let's begin with prayer after we've read God's precious word. Father, thank you for the reading of your word today. Thank you for your word. Please let us understand that it is your word, Lord. It's not man's interpretation. It's not some man that has just decided to write these words, as some people believe, I'm afraid. It is your word. And so please let us not change it, pollute it in any way. Let us stay with your word, in your truth, be led by you and by your spirit, dear God. Please, that you will help us to stay in your word and not change it, not choose what we want to keep or want to throw away, but we understand that it's your word from beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, and help us to study the full word, not just part of it, but all of it. We need to know your word, and please help us to do that. In this small time, short time that we have right now, in this small area of your word that we're able to cover each time we come together, help that to be a blessing to us, to show us the way of salvation if we do not know you as our Savior. And Lord, also, please, Lord, that it will also draw us closer to you when we have come and trusted in you for salvation. Thank you for this time. Now please bless it and bless us. And I ask that we be a blessing to you, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We find Jacob here moving. We find him leaving. And if you'll remember what has just taken place in the past, it's a sad day. And we have the Hamor and Shechem, his son. They were the king and the king's son of the Hivites, if you'll notice clear over into the 34th chapter, verse 2. And we find that Dinah decided to go out investigating a little bit and found herself in trouble. Well, that caused a lot of trouble, because it started right there and it didn't end until Shechem and Hamor and the men of the city were put to death. And so a sad, sad day. Levi and Simeon are the two that really were responsible for the murdering. Waited till right after they had agreed to be circumcised, if you remember right. Even the sons of Jacob thought that that's all religion was to do some outward sign, and that has carried on all through these generations. And maybe you're been kind of duped into thinking the same, that it is just an outward sign that makes you, as long as you attend church or you've been baptized or you take the Lord's Supper, your name is on the church board, the church roll, whatever you think in your own mind that's going to do it, that satisfies you. Well, it may satisfy you. It may satisfy your dad or your mom or your family. It may satisfy your children, your friends, but it does not satisfy God. The only way that you can be pleasing unto the Lord is to come before Him, confess your sin, and turn unto a righteous God and ask Him, plead with Him that He will come into your heart and save you. And you don't have to beg, but you need to. You will be in a form, a kind of begging, because you'll recognize how wicked and how sinful you are. And when you do that, when that comes, when you realize how much we sin and how wicked we are, that when we turn unto God, we will be on our face pleading with Him that He would save us. And He will, and He comes into our heart. Now, many people don't like to do that. They're too prideful. They're not about to admit that they're a sinner, or at least a wicked sinner anyway. Well, most folks like that, and maybe you're one of them. You have put on the appearance, and here it is, they've put on the appearance of circumcision that brought them into the family, supposedly. But the only thing it meant for these folks, the Hivites, it meant death for the males, because that was kind of a deception that the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel, a deception. They had in their mind all the time what they were going to do. And so does the devil. The devil's going to use any means to trick you and to fool you and to get you into a comfortable relationship with, you think, with God. But the end result will be death, eternal spiritual death. Well, that's what happened here to Hamor and to Shechem. That circumcision didn't do a bit of good. They died. And that's what's going to happen to you, only it's going to be a spiritual death. Yes, you'll face a physical death, but also a spiritual death. Then the sons of Jacob, you'll remember right, come in spoiled everything, all the land. They took the women, the children, all the things of the city they took with them, and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. That's in the 29th verse of chapter 34. Well, with all this going on, and Jacob finding out, why, he says, you know, we're fear for our lives. We're few in number, and they are great in number. What have you done? I shall be destroyed and my house because of what you have done. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? And that's the way that they looked at it, and they will pay. Now, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and so understand that. Don't think you have to get even with somebody that has mistreated you or something like that. Let that unto the Lord. You just live the life that you're to live and follow after the Lord's will and way. And do not, please do not think that you have to carry out the vengeance. The mistake was made by Dinah when she went into the city. And then it would just continued. It just didn't stop there. And that's what we see today. It's much like that. Begin something kind of simple, and it doesn't seem to be really anything wrong with it, up front. But the end result is disastrous, and that's exactly what happened here. The end result's death. Now, as we come to chapter 35, God said unto Jacob, arise, go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. You remember when he headed that other direction there, he was back in the 27th chapter, when he was heading towards, he went back home, back to Laban, and ended up with his two wives and their two handmaidens before it was finished, ended up with 12 children that's recorded, 11 sons and one daughter. And then we find in what we've just read today that we have added the 12th son. And so that will be the 12 tribes of Israel, is what you'll follow that as we continue through Genesis. And then if we go on into Exodus, you will find all this to be that they are the birth of the nation of Israel. And again, we've just read, and we knew it before, that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Now, as we look here, there's some things that's going to take place. And so when Jacob took out to flee away from his brother, remember his brother wanted to kill him because of all the things. He had taken his birthright, he's taken his blessing, and so they decided that it was time to Jacob's mother, Isaac and Rebekah, they decided it was time to get you out of town because they feared for his life too, because Esau was not a godly man, and so he feared for his life and took off. Well, when he did, he found himself at this place of Bethel, and I hope you remember the beautiful story that we had there, and it was no question that God appeared unto me. And that's what Jacob knows. God is speaking here, and so he says, God says, that there appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household, now look at this, and to all that were with him. So not only just his immediate family, but also all the people that were a part of that family, whether it be the hired man and the servants of the house, everything that was a part of it. And he said to his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Now that's quite a statement there. You know, when we're to walk with the Lord, and this should be done every day. Every day in our life, we need to set aside those strange gods. You say, "Well, I don't have any strange gods. I don't have anything like that. I don't have any little statues that I worship." Maybe you don't have a physical statue. Maybe you do. Maybe you have several statues. You know, we are not to worship graven images, and so be careful. We are to worship the true and living God, and we're to worship Him by Spirit. And so as we come before Him and praise Him and honor Him as a believer, because we have come by faith to Him, and I hope that that's true in your life. I hope that you have come by faith to Jesus Christ and been saved. If you have ignored that, if you have stepped aside from that and decided not to come to Jesus Christ, but to hang on to some religious tradition that has been handed down maybe through your family for years, maybe you married into a family, maybe you weren't really a church goer, but when you married, why, your wife or your husband decided that this is where you need to go, and so you were agreed and you went and you joined the church, no matter what it is. If that's what you've done, I don't care what name is on that church door. If you have not come by faith to Jesus Christ, if you have not been convicted of your sin, confessed your sin, and I'm not talking naming one by one, I'm talking recognizing, having a broken heart over your sin, and turning to the Lord Jesus. Now that is only done by the Spirit of God directing you. The Holy Spirit has to come to you, and He will come by hearing His Word. And when that takes place, when that comes, when you hear that and feel that conviction of your sin, and you call upon Him. I remember very clearly when I trusted in Jesus Christ. It wasn't just a once or two times. It was over a period of time. I had read through many verses of Scripture. I had been given a program, the church we were attending, I had been given this plan to increase membership. And in reading that, I continued to read that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead shall be saved. And on and on and on. Verses of God's precious word. And I just kept reading them, and I was memorizing them. Well, it didn't work the way it should have worked. The way it was supposed to work, I was supposed to learn that, go out, tell people that, then they would come to church. Well, it didn't quite work that way, because in doing that and reading that, the Holy Spirit through His Word convicted my heart of my sin, and all by myself, halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house, I got down on my knees and I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and to save me. And He did. And it wasn't long, because now I have the Holy Spirit in my heart, that God had led us out of that church. He had led us to a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church, a place that preached the truth. And that's where we stayed for many years, and then God led me here. And so as I continue to preach God's Word and teach God's Word, it all started back that day between the house and the Pharaoh house where I got down on my knees. But it all started when someone brought me the Word of God. You wonder why I teach the Word of God so clearly? And you wonder why I talk about the Word of God and we stayed verse by verse? Because it's not a power that I have. It's not a special power that this church has. It is a power. And when I say church, I mean the building. Because there is a special power here when we come together, because God promises where two or more are gathered in my name, that He's going to give us a special blessing, a special power, and He does. And I thank and praise Him for that. But that doesn't come just because we have come together and got all dressed up and come to church. It tells us here, and I love this, put away the strange gods. And so that's exactly what I had to do the day that I saw my sin, because I had all kinds of strange gods. I didn't have statues. I worshipped money. I worshipped me. And the day that I met Jesus Christ, it all began to change. I had a new heart, but I still had the old flesh. And so over the past many years, and that was back in 1975 is when that took place, so you count. You tell me how many years ago that was. And all those years, all these years, I have been continuing to grow closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. And so please look here that we need to put our strange gods away, but that's part of that confessing our sin and then turning to Jesus Christ, and now we know the true God. Well, he also says here, says, be clean and change your garments. I just read not long ago, and the little comment, you know, you see on the church sign, come as you are, you know, comfortable, be comfortable. And this preacher said, and it's truth, it's a great statement, that is, if you come as you are, you'll leave as you were. I want you to take some time, and I want you to think about, I'd love to have you come into this house and worship and praise God with us. But I don't want you to come so that you can feel comfortable. I want you to come so that you can meet God. I want you to come to know Him as your Savior. And I hope through this program that you have done that, that you have confessed your sin and turned unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you haven't, please do it, and please do it soon. And I would love to have you here to worship together, to praise God together, to study God's Word together, to grow together. I would love to do that. But if you're going to come as you are, don't waste your time. Go someplace else. There's all kinds of places that don't mind you coming as you are. I want you to come seeking God. And when you come seeking God, that should mean that you come with a reverence. And you've gave it some thought. You haven't, boy, I rush around, I hope I can get to church on time. You know, that's today's world and today's people. And, well, I miss Sunday school, but I'll make it to church. It's an afterthought. We're to give God our best. If you're a child of God, you better think about it, because you may not be saved if that's the way you're treating God. Many people do. And the society today has done that to us. God sure hasn't. God wants us to come into His house wearing our best in reverence to Him, not to show off to somebody else. He wants us to come, and we have spent time in prayer and fellowship with Him, that when we come together, we come with a power and we desire to learn from God. That's what we're coming to do. I'm not coming, you're not coming here because you're not going to be entertained. You will see and find the Lord Jesus Christ here, present. So please come, because you will know that He is here. We have met with God when we come together. We sing the old hymns, and we preach His old word. But you see, His old word never changes. Man has changed God's word, polluted it, perverted it. They have done the same with the music. Please, please, don't come as you are. I want you to come into this house. And I want you to worship and praise God. But I want you to come because you're seeking God. You're seeking that your life's going to change. It's not going to be the same. Put away the strange gods that are among you. That was God's word unto Jacob. And Jacob passed it on. And he says, Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. All right, we need to put away our gods. We must change our walk. And when we come before Him, we need to be clean, confessed up, ready to come and ready to receive a blessing from God. That's how we need to come. Is that how you come to church? Or do you finally drag yourself out of bed? You know, Sunday morning is the only time I can sleep. Oh, get up. Get up, wake up, sit down and spend some time with the Lord before you get to church, and you'll be prepared. Now, when you get to church, you think, well, why did I do that? I just got a sermonette. Then get someplace else where you're going to get not a sermonette, but you're going to get the Word of God. Please, that you look. This is Jacob's requirements. Put away the strange gods that are among you. Be clean. Be clean. You think about what that should mean to us spiritually. And change your garments. And if you says, well, God knows my heart. Well, if you come with your old everyday garments into the house of God, yes, he does know your heart. You don't. Because you don't give God a thought. You don't give him the time of day if you don't give him any more respect than that. Jacob told him, let us arise and go up to Bethel. The house of God is what Bethel means. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hands, all their earrings that were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak, which was in Shechem. He buried them, and I got a feeling that Jacob buried them when nobody saw it. He didn't want, and that's what we need to do with our gods and with our all of our apparel that we, you know, we try to impress people. You know, it's one thing to look nice. I come to church, I have a suit on, I definitely have a tie on, I look with the best I have. Now, if the best that you have is just jeans and a shirt, that's fine, because that's the best you have. Now, if you go out on Saturday night or Friday night and you got your fancy clothes on, and then you come in your jeans and your old shirt on Sunday morning, that doesn't make it. Well, you don't have to. It's not a requirement to come into the house of God, to this house, his house, and have a tie on and have a suit on. But you think about all the things that you buy and all the things you do. It's a wonderful way to come into the house of God, to reverence the Lord properly. Give him some time. Change your, when you come in, you should be ready to worship. And many times with the clothes and apparel we have, it doesn't make it. And here Jacob took these things. And he didn't say, okay, I'm going to hold on to them. Now, after the service, I'll hand them back to you. He buried them. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bury them. Now, are you prepared to do that today? When you're coming into the house of God, are you prepared to bury? And that means that they're buried. They're dead. They're gone. That's what we need to do with our lives. Jacob did. And then they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and he and all his people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And that was just the fifth, sixth, and seventh verse that we read. El Bethel. Bethel means house of God. El Bethel is God of the house. God of the house. And so we've just grown just a little bit more. Jacob has, and Jacob's family is beginning, I think, to learn. And again, something happened here in verse 5. What was Jacob afraid of up in the 34th chapter at the end? He was afraid the people were going to pursue him and put him to death. I shall be destroyed, I and my house, the end of verse 30 says. Well, what has happened? What has happened here? And I want you to see this. You know, as we walk with the Lord and as we serve him and as we work for him, we need to realize that we also will receive his protection. And look what's happened here. Jacob, when he leaves, there was a fear as they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. As they traveled, news had come what had happened. And that there was nothing right about that. But Jacob, God told him, it's time to turn to me. And Jacob did. He turned unto God. And he commanded his family and all that those were with him to turn unto God. Put away their gods. put a new garment on, be clean. And he buried the old, and he headed out. And when he headed out, God was with him. God was protecting him. No one followed them. No one pursued them. No one brought harm to them. You want God's blessing? You turn to God. My dear friend, I love the study of His Word. And I always love the ending. Not that it's come to an end. But my friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?